So if you take out for me a couple things, take this out. Our announcement page, and on the back is where you can take some notes for the message. You'll need that today, so you can jot some things down and make sure you have a pen out or a pencil out that you can take some notes. And there's some things that I'm going to ask for some interaction for within the message. So welcome to Milestone Church. It's our first week as Milestone Church, and as we begin this new chapter, I'm beginning a new series called Resolution. I'm going to be teaching from the book of Joshua in the Bible, where God calls his people to make a resolution to turn the page into a new chapter. And so we'll be going through that. It's going to take me about 3 months to go through the book of Joshua. And so we'll do that in two different series. I'll start for the first month. I'm going to go through the series called Resolution. And then the second series, we'll go through the series called Overcome. And so looking forward to just going through this. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible because of the amazing things that God did through his people. And really, the whole book just accounts for how great God is. And so we do this, and it's awesome that it all worked out, that we could start this new name and new everything at the beginning of 2018. And so every year, it seems like this is the perfect time to have a brand new slate, doesn't it? Where it's like, okay, scratch the old year, we're going to start the new year, and we're going to come up with some resolutions, some things that we can do differently maybe, some things that we know, hey, I should be doing this or whatever, and we can make those resolutions. And so every year we have some different things that we want to do, and maybe for you, you have some things in mind that you're looking to do, and so let me mention a few that might be on your mind. We set a resolution a lot of times to lose weight or to get in shape. They kind of go hand in hand. To go to church. A lot of times, January is a time where people come back to church because they've been away for a while, and they're like, I need to be at church. I know I need to, and you come, and you're like, okay, let's check this out again. Or read the Bible. You say, I know I need to read the Bible. I need to spend time with God, and so I really want to do that this year better. Or maybe it's financially, you want to save money or pay off debt, or in school, you want to get better grades, or whatever it might be, have different resolutions. And so here's what I want you to do. I'm not asking you to make a New Year's resolution, just to engage where you're at, because I can't name all of the specific things that might be something that you would be focused in on, but in your mind, write down on that piece of paper on the back of the card here, write down one thing that you say, I would like to change this year, or I would like to see this change this year. Now, be careful of this because there's two different things you could be talking about. One is something that someone else has control of, like, I would like to get a raise. Well, if you're not the boss, you can't control that unless if you work overtime. Okay, so that wouldn't be something, I would like to make more money. Well, that means you have to get a part-time job or work overtime or get a job, okay? But something that you control that you say, I would like to see this change in my life this year. I'll give you a second to write that down. And looking for everybody to participate. Has everybody got it down? Still thinking? Like, I got to hide this from the person next to me because if my wife sees this, they're going to hold me accountable to this. No, that's not what we're doing. This is just a very simple, just one little thing you say, I would like to see this change happen this year. Has everybody got it? Raise your hand if you got it. That's half. We're getting there. Some of you are still writing. Okay, so you have this down now. And I could give you a few of mine, but that doesn't matter. I've got some things that I'm working on as well that I'd like to see different. Here's the thing, though. I was doing some research on this, and according to Huffington Post, just a month ago, they put this out. Only 8% of New Year's resolutions are actually followed through with. Doesn't that seem hopeful? I mean, I just asked you to write down, hey, there's one thing I'd like to change in 2018, and now I follow that up with a statement that, well, only 8% of these are actually going to be followed through with. So of the whatever amount of people we have here, only 8%. So 8 out of 100 people, yeah, that's not so good statistically. But they cite that the reason is that the goal is too big. So they recommend that instead of the goal that they have, they would say, well, break it down into something that's more tangible or more something you can actually achieve. Okay, so look at that one thing that you wrote down and kind of go with me on this little journey. Okay, so what's one little thing that you could do to help with that goal? For example, maybe you put down lose weight. Okay, so if I put down lose weight and I didn't put that down, but if I put lose weight, I'm not saying I shouldn't lose weight. That's not, like, don't judge me, okay? Judgment's a free zone here. Okay, so if I put that down, what I would say to myself, if I want to lose weight, the one thing I would cut out is what? Not junk food so much, because I don't eat a ton of junk food, but there is one piece of junk food that I like to eat a lot of. Yeah, ice cream, mint chocolate chip, you know, ice cream. Double Dunker's really good. Anybody like Double Dunker? You know what that is? There's only a few of you. Yeah, it's Turkey Hill. It's really good. It's got mocha and I'm way off track now. Okay. But if I cut out ice cream, that's like 1,000 calories a day probably that I'm cutting. And maybe not that much. But I'm cutting out some ice cream, and I'm cutting that out in order to lose weight. So maybe a more tangible thing that you could write down then is, okay, instead of losing weight, I do want to do that, but I'm going to write down the one goal. I'm going to cut out. I'm only going to eat ice cream once a week. Okay? Or, let's see, some other things I jotted down here. Better grades. You want better grades. Parents, you with me? Your kids want better grades? Okay, your kids, you are, it's not about your parents, it's you. Okay, so in order to get better grades, here's one great thing you could do. Turn in your homework. Okay, that really helps your grade out. You know, and just as a side note, I don't think homework counted for nearly as much as it counts for the kids today. Like, I don't remember doing homework when I was a kid, but that might be reflective of the grades I got. I don't know. But the kids today, man, they get tons of homework. I don't know. But turn your homework in. That's just a clear thing, okay? If you want to pay off debt, maybe a simple thing, instead of saying, I'm going to pay off my debts, what if you start a savings account? So what you're doing by starting a savings account, or you say, I'm not going to use my credit cards. Or maybe you can't do that because they're, you know, it's kind of tied into life so much. It's, I won't go into debt any deeper. Okay? Simple things like that, that you say, okay, I'm going to make a small little tangible thing. So in your notes, write that down. And these are not trick questions, okay? It's just simple. So the first thing you have is one thing you'd like to change this year. And now the second thing is, okay, break it down into something that's tangible that you could say, I think I could do this. Okay? So you have it down now? Okay, we're on the right track. So in this series, I want to help us follow through with resolutions. Just in general, I want to help us follow through with resolutions. So if you're just kicking around this whole God idea, or you're kicking around this whole Jesus idea, and you're not so sure about this, and you've come in today on this really cold winter day, and you're like, I'm making this resolution to come to church. I'm not sure which one, but I'll come to this one because it's on a main street, and I'll just see what it's all about. And you're just kicking the whole Jesus idea around. This is a great time to come, because we're talking about something that is very practical in nature, and then we're going to also be talking about something that is all about Jesus as well. So you can get to know Jesus, and you can also have the side benefit of growing in your resolutions and making some lifestyle changes that could really benefit your life. And so just come and learn more about Jesus and be able to understand more about life also. Today, I want to talk about the foundation to every resolution. Every resolution has the same foundation. Know what it is? Resolve. Resolve. It's so simple, isn't it? Resolve. If you have no resolve, you will resolve to go nowhere. What is it to have resolve? It's simply the instead of the I probably should, it's the I must. Okay? The resolve is, I'll use Joel as my example here. Resolve, come here a second. Okay, resolve would be, if I took Joel, and I would never do this, but if I took Joel and I was choking him, okay, his parents would cheer me on a little bit, but okay, I'm kidding you. They love you. But if I was choking him, he would sit here and he would have a different resolve. Instead of just hanging out like, hey, it's great to be around Pastor Bill and we're just hanging out and we're buds. If I was choking him, he's losing his breath and not able to breathe, what would he begin to do? Yeah, it's not, I probably should do something about it, right? Boy, I can't breathe right now. Something's wrong with this. It's, I must do something. I resolve in my mind, in my body, whatever I have to do, I'm going to step on his feet, I'm going to poke his eyes, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to distract him, to push him away so he no longer chokes me, right? And his parents, after a couple of seconds of choking, they would throw a hymn book at me or something, right? I think. They do love you. I'm just kidding. Okay? Does that make sense? There's a difference between I probably should to I must. Thank you. I won't choke you, though. I wouldn't do that. And that's what I'm trying to get across. The resolve, oftentimes when we look at New Year's resolution, we look at it as a New Year's, I probably should do this. A New Year's, they've been nagging me so much that, okay, fine, I'll put it on the list because I just want you off my back. Or a New Year's, well, you know, and I know it's kind of sort of the right thing to do. That's not a resolution because there's no resolve in it. A New Year's resolution is, I must. And nothing's going to stop me from, I don't think anyway. I'm going to make sure I get rid of all the barriers so that I can do what I have to do here. The book of Joshua gives details about a nation under Joshua's leadership as they followed God, where God gave them a resolve to do something, a resolve to take steps, and then they literally followed through with it. And it's fascinating because it's not a story about Joshua or Israel at all. It's a story about God and how big God's blessings are as his people resolve to follow God. And so I want to go through the details of that with us together. So if you're in Joshua, it's in the first half of your Bible, kind of page through, and it's just like the first quarter of your Bible. There's the book of Joshua right before Judges and such. So we're in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to do something interesting today. Can you stand with me? Stand with me. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 together. And I just want to stand just to honor God's word. First time of the year we're reading God's word, and I just want to honor God's word together as we read this out. And then I'll explain some things as we go. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. What a tremendous text. I mean, if I were in Joshua's shoes, listening to God say these things, this would be such a motivational speech to me to hear this from God, where God is simply saying to Joshua, Moses is dead. You've been his right-hand man. You've been his assistant. And now it's time, Joshua, for you to step up. Joshua, it's time for you to take some moves forward with my people. So I have this resolution for you. And I want you to resolve to go in the direction that I want you to be moving in. So here's what he says, verses 3 and 4. He says, wherever the sole of your foot treads, I'm giving this land to you. That seems like a pretty simple statement. If I said to you, hey, listen, whatever land you walk on, it's free, it's yours. Or if you go into one of those money grab things, any dollar, any amount of money that you pick up from there, it's all yours. What would you do? You get very active, wouldn't you? Okay, sweet. Free money, free land. Okay, so that's what Joshua is being told by God. He's saying, listen, here's the deal. Wherever you walk on, wherever your foot touches, that land is now the possession of Israel. I'm giving it to Israel as an inheritance. And so God can control that because God is God. And there's a whole lot of background to that. And some say, especially with all that's going on with Jerusalem right now, some say, that seems really weird and odd. And that means there's battles and stuff like that. And we're going to touch in on some of those things as we go when the battles begin to occur in the book of Joshua and how it's kind of weird and odd and why does God act in this kind of a way. We'll touch on that. So just kind of be patient with me as we touch into those things. But in order for the land to be Joshua's or Israel's, there has to be an action step. And we can overlook verse 3 and just say, okay, cool. That seems like a really neat thing because oftentimes a motivational speech or so, when I feel motivated, like when I watch a workout commercial or whatever, I'm like, oh man, I should work out. You know, there's a problem though because that feeling goes away pretty quickly. And what God is doing with Joshua, he's saying, everywhere you walk, I'm giving you that. But what that requires is you must get to that place and walk on it. And he's saying there in the next verse, he says, you have to cross over Jordan. Well, Jordan's this river that nobody crosses like that. And he's got a million people plus that need to cross over it with him. Now, Joshua remembers what God had already done. Because Joshua was there. Joshua knew how great God is and knew that God is in control and can do those very things where he opens up the waters for them to walk across on dry land. But he's really mentioning there's some impossible things that I'm about to do for you. So he's saying, I'm going to give you that land. And then he says in verse 5, he says, I'm giving you the same respect that I gave to Moses. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And as people couldn't stand before Moses in the same kind of, they didn't stand up to him in that kind of way. There was a respect for him. In that, I'm going to give that over to you as well. That people are going to listen to you. That you will be a strong leader that I am blessing. And he gives them the instruction in verse 6 through 9. He says this several times. I don't know if you've caught it or not. Or maybe you should underline this in your Bible. Be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous. To have a great deal of strength. You're not going to get strong by sleeping. You agree? Okay? You'll never get strong by sleeping. You'll never strengthen your mind by not studying. You'll never strengthen your body by sleeping in. Okay? The way that you get strong is to work hard. The way that you get strong is to put yourself to it, to be diligent. He says, be strong. That means, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to push. I'm going to go past the headache takes me. I'm going to go past my stomach kind of doesn't feel right. I'm going to go past my body just doesn't feel like cooperating. And in these cold days right now, listen, isn't it hard to get up and do something? Go outside and to walk from just the door of your house to your car. It's like, oh, man. And you've demonstrated that you can do this because you're like, you know what? I want to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to go to church because I know that's where I need to be fed God's word, to be around God's people. And I need that. So I'm going to go out this cold. Woo! And I got out to the car and hopefully you don't have leather seats because when you sit on leather seats that are cold, you're like, ah, right? And yeah, it's bad. So you start it up, turn the warmers on if they work. And anyway, but so the reality, it takes strength to do that. And if you work outside, you understand. You know, we've got a couple UPS drivers here, and you get it, man. There's no heat in those trucks, just to let you know, so they, I mean, there is a tiny, tiny little bit, but it's not going to change 1 degree in this, okay, just saying. So they're in there, and it's cold all day. They're running back and forth, and it's exhausting. Listen, you won't get strong by sitting still. That's my point. You're not going to get strong by sleeping. You're not going to get strong by giving excuses. And here's where Joshua is getting instruction from God. The first thing, it's not I'm giving this over to you as a magic trick. It's not just I'm going to sprinkle the pixie dust on you and all of a sudden you've got it. No, he says be strong. Be strong. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take push. You can't just sit back and hope that I just give it to you as a, oh, there it is. Be strong. And then he says the second part, be courageous. To be courageous is to have the courage to move forward. The people that don't have the courage to move forward are making excuses or saying there's no hope or they're cynical, different things where you're just saying, I just don't know. And for different reasons, you pull back and you look at it and say, that would be nice if I could. And the if is so big. So he gives him a couple things to have as his resolve then. Be strong and courageous. And he focuses in on how he should follow God's law. In verse 7, and then he says it again and repeats it. You should meditate on this book. You should make sure that you're totally in just indulging into God's word. So that you know it clearly, so that it's penetrating into your life in every single way. You're just saturated in this. And so he says to Joshua, here's where you need to be. You need to be in God's word. You need to be in God's law. No, from cover to cover, in a sense, it's inexhaustible. Study it and meditate on it and saturate yourselves in it so that you know what God wants for you. And you're starting it right away here. That we, our desire as we come together is to be saturated in God's word, to spend this time in God's word. And I love, there's one of the things I love about this church. I mean, there's a lot of things, but one of the things that is really cool to me, I never hear complaints about, Pastor, you preach too long. And I mean that in a very genuine, sincere way. I never hear that. For the last like 20 years I've been preaching, or 10 or 15, whatever, I've been preaching, I don't hear the statement of, Pastor, you're just too long. Can you shorten it down to like 15, 20 minutes, you know? I never hear that. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I preached a little bit short, and I had a couple people say to me, man, that was kind of short. And there's only one reason. It's because the clock in the back, I couldn't see it, and I didn't have my cell phone on me, which I always have a clock here so I know what time it is, okay? And I had no idea, so I'm like, well, it's better to go short than to go long. It's kind of how I felt, so I did. But here's what you're saying by that. And I don't want to take advantage of your attention span by going too long, but you're saying, I come thirsty. I didn't come just, look, don't just give me a little appetizer. I want a meal. I want to hear it. I want to be saturated to the degree that I can take it in one sitting. I want to be saturated with God's word so that when I go home, I have something that I can kind of live out in my life and apply to where I'm at in the context I'm currently living out. And I praise God for that. And so he says to Joshua, make sure that you're meditating. Be careful to give attention to everything that I've written out for you, because as you do, there's an if-then kind of statement. As you do, then I will make your way prosperous. You will have good success, he says in verse 8. So he goes back and reminds him, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. If you were told this several times by God, do you think that this is something you should pay attention to? For me, I would sit back and say, so what you're saying is I need to be really strong and courageous. I need to make sure I'm saturated in your word. Now, that's a huge statement that God's making to him. So if I were to summarize this text, what I would say in one small little sentence, and I'll encourage you to write this down, is one thing, and I want to key in on this today, is to resolve to take charge. Resolve to take charge. That's what God is telling Joshua here. Resolve to take charge. Take charge of two different things. Take charge of your life personally, and take charge of God's people. Be strong and courageous there. Take charge. So, kind of three different things that I would kind of throw down here underneath that. He had to listen to God in order to know what God wanted. Very simple. So he had to stay saturated in God's word and stay close to God so that he would know where God is leading him. And we'll see that through the book of Joshua. He does this so frequently, just going back to where God is. He had to walk on the ground in order to possess it. Very simple, but it's huge. It wasn't just there that it was the end point of this commitment of resolution. He literally had to walk to where he was going to possess the land. He had to physically go and do something. And then the third thing that I would say is he had to communicate with the people in order to lead them there. So it wasn't just magic. It wasn't just, okay, I'm just going to get this flute out and I'm going to play a song and hopefully everybody follows me over to this way. It wasn't that at all. He had to be committed. He had to walk this direction. He had to follow God specifically through. He had to know what God wanted. And as he's going, he had to communicate thoroughly to the people what needed to happen. That's resolve. And in order to do that, he would have to go and take charge of the people that God's put him in charge of. You know, with New Year's resolutions, think about the one that you wrote down. Not that this is your New Year's resolution, but the one thing that you'd like to see change this year. Think about this. Oftentimes, the reason we don't get anywhere with the thing that we want to see changed is a couple of different things. We wait for someone else to do something instead. Oftentimes, we sit back and we're like, well, you know, I know this should happen, but if my wife didn't cook such fatty foods, I wouldn't be so fat, right? If my boss would give me the raise, then I wouldn't be in the financial position I was in. Or if, you know, and you have all of these different things where instead of taking personal responsibility and me taking a step that I should be taking, we excuse ourselves from that, and then we place the responsibility on someone else. So you say, well, it's somebody else that needs to do this, and we wait for them to do something instead of us taking a step. Now, sometimes I think that we wait for us to grow out of it. I remember as a teenager some struggles I was going through. I thought, I'll just grow out of that. You know, and as I got older, I realized I'm not growing out of this. And I remember being around a guy that was 72 years old sharing with me his life and saying, you know, this one thing that I've struggled with all my life, I didn't grow out of this. And I'm like, man, that really stinks. You won't grow out of the things you're struggling with. You've got to work out of it. You've got to push yourself through it. Be strong and courageous through it. Sometimes, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit again, we give up hope because it never worked before. The thing that you say, I'd like to see this changed, oftentimes we give up hope because we say, yeah, I wanted that to be changed a year ago, and it didn't change. I tried that 5 years ago, it didn't change. And we just say, it didn't work before, and this is a nice motivational speech there, Pastor, but I've seen how this really works itself out, and it doesn't go anywhere. Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua could really give in to any of these excuses, couldn't he? But here's what really happened. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, first thing he does, and Joshua then commanded the officers of the people. So what's he do? He immediately goes to communication. He's been speaking with God. He knows where God wants him to go, so he immediately goes over to the people. So what's he say to them? Verse 11, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over the Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. So Joshua immediately goes into action. He recognizes the problem. He recognizes something should change. And he recognizes God is leading him to move in this direction. So he's staying where God wants him to be. And immediately he goes into action and he talks to the leaders and calls them then to action as well. So then he gets specific. He's very intentional with what he's doing. He's very specific and he says, in 3 days we're going to pass over this Jordan. Okay, stop the train a little bit. If we're camped out next to the Schuylkill, not that we would do it now, and today might be a little bit better to cross over the Schuylkill than any day because it might be frozen and jump. Anyway, but for them, they're going to go across the Jordan River. Easier, tough. It's impossible, yes? Okay, so it's not going to happen. And so he's immediately going into action. And he's saying, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. We're crossing over the Jordan River in 3 days. Very specifically, pack your bags. We're moving. Whew. So he leads them then to go and make some statements to the people that are there with them to say, we're moving. So he set very specific expectations, very specific time frames as to when this was going to happen. And what he had to overcome was cynicism. Cynicism. How long were they there? 40 years. 40 years is a long time. For a whole generation to be in this place where they've been wandering around the wilderness, they've been talking about the dream of the promised land, and they've just been talking about it, and one day we're going to get to the promised land. One day we're going to go there, and it's always that one day, and Joshua's saying, guys, it's that day. It's time. He had to actually overcome his own cynicism that this was just something that was a pipe dream or this is something that they thought about to getting into action. And he had to help everyone else to overcome cynicism as well and saying, wait a second. Well, I'm just comfortable here. I'm good where I'm at. I know it's not the best. It's not the most ideal, but I'm comfortable here. He had to overcome cynicism, had to overcome the comfort from where everybody already was. Oftentimes, the reason we don't follow through with our resolutions is we're simply too comfortable where we are and we're too cynical in looking at how we are to think that we could actually get through. One of the hardest things about helping people with addictions is right here. One, addictions are really huge monsters. Any type of an addiction, whether it's chemically based or whether it's just a really bad habit that you have going on in different kind of ways, you have these addictions that are in your life for a reason, to fulfill something that you're searching for, and to get from point A of recognizing the addiction as a problem to point B saying, I'm no longer allowing this addiction to be part of my life. I'm no longer going here. There's a lot of cynicism. There's a lot of comfort zones that you have to break through. Most people look and they say, well, to get out of drugs and get out of drinking is, I mean, it's just so easy. Just don't do it anymore. Unless if you're actually there. You know how hard that is for people to say no to a drink, to a pill, to a smoke, to any of those things? You know how hard that is? It's torture sometimes. And if you've seen anybody, if you've walked through with anybody this whole journey, sometimes to break free from an addiction means that you have to intentionally put yourself into a feeling of feeling like you have the flu all of the time for days, weeks, and even months. Could you imagine? Sometimes we're really not too empathetic to where people are and the steps that people need to take. And I'm just bringing that out and saying, here's the reality. In order to get from point A to point B, there's a lot of struggle in between. Breaking out of the comfort zone and breaking free from the cynicism that you have inside of yourself. It's telling yourself the truth. And that's what Joshua would have to do. Where God's telling him this, be strong and courageous, I'm with you. Don't quit. Don't give up now. There's hope. You can make it. I'm with you. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you see that I'm God that's bigger than the Jordan River? Do you see that I'm God that's bigger than the people over in the Promised Land? Do you see that I'm God that's bigger than the people that are saying, but I just planted a new garden here. I want to stay right here. And do you see that God's bigger than all of that? And that's the big test here. And for all of us, as we look at being resolved to go forward with anything that God wants us to do, it means that we've got to break free from the comforts that we're in, break free from the cynicism that we are kind of established in our own mind, and get to the other side by walking through with strength and courage to go through this painful time to get over here. So what did they do? So he goes over to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, and he's giving them instructions. And you go down and you see their response in verse 15. He says, "Until the Lord gives you rest and your brothers and all as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given to them, then you shall return to the land of the possession and shall possess it." The land that Moses, your servant, the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So he kind of concludes all of this and says, here's where we need to go. So verse 16, they answer Joshua. So what do you say? What do you say? When God says, let's move, what do you say? They answer Joshua, all that you've commanded us, we will do. We're in. We resolve to take charge of our lives as well. We resolve to take charge of the things we're in charge of as well. We resolve to whatever you say is what we're going to do. As you follow God, that's where we're going. And that's what the people then, that's how they respond to him. All that you command us to do, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Now, that's funny there because they didn't obey Moses in all things, but that's a little fuzzy. But I think they're speaking honestly. He says, may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So verse 18 is interesting because verse 18 deserves a little explanation. They say, whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now here's the cool thing. What they're saying to Joshua is, listen, if somebody doesn't follow, we're going to put them to death. That's not the way you build a church, so that's not going to be applied to our situation and context, just to let you know. If you don't want to go forward, okay, then we're not going to kill you. And there's no historical record of anyone that they had to put to death, so we're good with this. But here's the reality. They were so committed to going forward. They were so resolved in their mind. It wasn't, I might, I think I can, I think I should. It's, hey, maybe next week, not in 3 days, but can you put it off a couple more days? Harvest is just, it wasn't anything like that. It was, whatever you say, Joshua, we're going. We're on board. You can count on us to the degree that anyone that doesn't follow, we'll put them to death. You don't have to worry about it. We got your back. Would that give Joshua any confidence? If you're the leader, would that give you confidence? Here's the reality. Any movement requires action. Someone needs to take charge. The arise and go, the be strong and courageous. It's action that is going to be required. So my question back to each and every one of us is, what is God calling you to take charge of? The thing that you wrote down might just be your fake kind of pseudonym kind of thing that you say, this needs to change. But maybe there's something else that you say, this is what God is leading in my life to change, to do differently. Would you take charge of it? Would you do something differently in your life, even if it means walking across the Jordan River with God? So how do you do this? Number one, take charge of yourself first. Don't take charge of somebody else. Okay? Criticism is when I take charge of what you're doing and criticize you for what you're not doing. Okay? Take charge of yourself first. In order to do that, it takes inner strength. It's not natural. It takes inner strength. A couple examples of people that are here. And there's a bunch of people that I could give examples to. Teens. So Jake wrestles. Is Jake here? I didn't see him. Oh, there he is. You're sitting behind the clock. I couldn't see you. Okay, so Jake wrestles. And he had to, in order to wrestle at the weight he needed to wrestle at, he had to lose a couple pounds. How many pounds? 12. That's a lot of weight to lose, okay, for a young man that doesn't need to lose a lot. He was already in shape, okay, so it wasn't like, hey, let's work out more. So in order to lose 12 pounds, here's what Jake had to do. He had to put on like 15 sweatshirts and run some more, eat like rabbit food all the time, right, in order to get down to the weight class that he wanted to get in order to wrestle. It took in him, and as I would see him in different ways, and you know, like the one Wednesday night, I'm like, wow, you have lost weight, buddy. And he did. And in order to do that, there had to be an inner drive to get there. I follow somebody else on Facebook. I'm friends with a bunch of you on Facebook and stuff. Polly, I was going to ask you for permission to share this, but I didn't. But anyway, anyway, you never know what you're going to get when you come to church. So Polly on Facebook, and it's for public knowledge, so it's okay now. So on for her friends, and we're all friends. So anyway, I think I'm in trouble today. But Polly puts on Facebook frequently that she goes to work out. Like, what time, Polly? Yeah, like crazy morning stuff. Like, who gets up that early to work out? Okay? Half of us are already still in bed at that point in time. And she's like, this past year, I've just kind of watched your journey of, I went and I worked out and I didn't want to, and you put honest stuff on there, which I thought, man, what an encouragement. Because, like, I know I should probably get up at 5:30 and work out to get my physique or something. But man, you know, here's what she did. She said, I'm getting up. I have this inner drive to be able to get to where I need to get to. Okay? In order to get the resolution from I think I should to I must, it takes an inner drive. Church, in order for us as a church to go forward into what God wants for us, it will take an inner drive. Just changing the name is not enough. Do you realize that? That's the starting point. That's one little thing that we did in order to go forward. That was the in order to. It wasn't the, hey, we're done now. It will take an inner drive to get to where we need to get to. In order to take those resolutions from I want to I must, I have to, there's the inner drive that pushes us there. If you don't have it, pray for it. I've said to you before, I'm sure I'll repeat this example. For me to be a pastor, I have to study. And if you don't know me well enough, I don't like to read. Like, I don't read journals, fiction books. I just don't, because I don't enjoy reading. I watch a movie if I have to, okay? I like to work with my hands. I don't do well to read. And when I went through college, I was like, man, I'm not making it. I was flunking. I was doing really bad in college. And I was like, I'm not going to make it through. It's not that I'm not smart in a sense. I have my own kind of brains and way my brain works. And it just wasn't in reading and studying that kind of way. And God pressed into me. I didn't have the inner drive to study. That's why I wasn't doing good in class, because I didn't study hard, you know. And so God pressed in on me that I should pray. And so I just began to pray. Is God, give me the drive. Give me the inner drive to study. To this day, I've been in ministry for over 20 years now. To this day, I still have to pray, God, give me the inner drive to do what you've called me to do. It's not natural. It's not like, oh man, I can't wait to read this new book. I'll order a new book and it's so cool to get a new book, right? But you got to open it and read it. Yeah, that takes an inner drive. Like, I fall asleep. Like, ask my wife. I'll go to bed and I'll sit there. I'm like, I'm going to read a book. And she just looks at me like, yeah, whatever that means. Like, I'm like a paragraph into it and I'm out, you know? And she's like, I don't even know why you bother. I don't know either, right? It's hard. But there's got to be an inner drive that gets you up at 5:30, an inner drive that says, I'll eat the rabbit food if I have to. There's an inner drive, and if it's not in you currently, then you should be begging Almighty God to give you the inner drive to do what God wants you to do, because He will give that to you. He's not sitting back saying, we'll see if you make it. No, you'll have to put the work in. It's not the pixie dust that all of a sudden I go from poop to poop. I'm not done there. It's that God is leading me, and God will give me the strength and energy to fight through, to eat the rabbit food, to fight through, to get up at 5:30, to fight through, to do what He's called me to do, to quit the addiction, to stop smoking, to stop drinking, to stop doing things that are killing my body, to stop doing that. God will give me the inner drive as I beg Him for it. If you're not asking God for it and you're just hoping it magically comes, then you're missing out. Because all of these things that God's leading us to do, very simply, is to bring us closer to Him. Why would you quit that addiction? So that you can say, I quit that addiction? So what? What if you quit that addiction so that you could be near to God? Because the reason you're not near God is because this is in the way of it. Because this is your God. You catch that? Totally different perspective. So now it's, God, I want to be totally, fully committed to you. So give me the inner drive to be able to get through the pain that I have to get through, to get up when I need to get up, to stop doing what I know I shouldn't be doing. Give me that drive to get up and do that. So take charge of yourself first. And secondly, take charge of what God wants you to be in charge of. Don't try to take charge of another person's charge. Don't criticize other people. Just take charge of what you're in charge of, very simply. Last year we made a resolution to take whatever steps God was leading us in to reach more people with the gospel. So as a church, we came at their annual business meeting and we said, it's time. We've got to do something. And the elders, we met in 2016 and we prayed about this and we said, God, whatever you have for us is what we need to do. We need to make some changes here, Lord. We want to reach more people to make your name famous. It's not about making a big mega church. That wasn't the concern. It was we need to reach our community. Our community needs Jesus. And if you don't know who Jesus is yet, just keep coming back. We want to show you who Jesus is. We'll do it first by loving you, by caring for you. That's the first step. And we'll introduce him to you through first our actions, and we'll introduce him to you through the Word of God as well. But so we made some decisions where he said, we'll do whatever it is. So we set up a steering committee, a group of about 10 people that met together on a weekly or a monthly basis or sometimes a biweekly basis. And we met to be able to discuss and say, okay, what needs to change? What needs to be different? And so we began some things and we looked at our core values, and what we had as a church covenant had literally nothing was said in there about grace. It's all about do this, do that, do the other thing. And we're like, well, that just seems, that's not where God wants us to be. It's about grace. It's about coming to where he is in that kind of a sense. And so we made some huge changes within that right there to say, okay, we're going to have these simple core commitments of here's who we want to be. We're all a work in progress. We should be connected to God, connected to one another, and we should be generous. And that's in simple form. But we made those. It was a huge stride for us. And then as we prayed about it and we talked about it, we realized that one of the things that is a barrier to this community is our name. And so we prayed about that and we introduced that to the church then, dialogued about that, and we made a change. We voted on that and we began to take some steps there. We had a campaign for the last 6 months of the year to raise some money to be able to pay for the expenses regarding that. And we raised a little over $3,000 for that. And we're excited for that. And so God's been leading in those things to be able to take some specific steps to be able to just follow through with what God wants us to be doing. So in 2017, those were the kind of the highlights, but there's some other things that you might not be aware of, and I want to bring some attention to these things. In 2017, our attendance grew more than I've ever seen our attendance grow. Our attendance grew by 25% in 2017. That's an incredible amount of growth. Consistent people that are coming every week. And so I look and say, by many different means, God said, here, I'm going to bring people in to be part of this church that have like minds, have like hearts, and I'm just thrilled for what God is doing there. Within that, specifically in 2016, we said, in the beginning of 2017, I said, we are a church that's getting older. That we have 5% of our church is under the age of 40. And while it's not that I have a problem with 40-plus-year-olds, because I'm one, it's that we need to be growing younger. I praise God that we have now a much higher percentage of people, and I didn't do all the calculation, but it's a much higher percentage of people that are younger than 40 now, and the tables are beginning to turn there. That's exciting for me. One of the simple things, back in February, by faith, I did this crazy thing. I said, I think what we need to do is if someone comes or when someone comes, because we expect guests to come, I think that they want to know who the pastor is. I don't know why, but they do. And so I said, let's do this pizza with a pastor thing. Once a month, because every week we can't afford that, but we can afford once a month. So we'll treat whoever, we'll have a couple people from the church that stay alongside of me, and then we'll have some the people that are guests, they can stay as well. And the whole purpose was we can just build fellowship. And so here's, I always have contingency plans. I have plan A, plan B, and oftentimes plan C as well. In my brain, I don't communicate B and C because I don't want anybody to know what I'm really thinking. But so I was thinking, okay, here's the deal. If no one comes as a guest, we will at least have three people that I can, as a pastor, convey vision, convey my heart to them and love on them and care for them as just friends in the ministry and be an encouragement to them. So I thought at the very least, not that that's the least, but it would have a great benefit there. And then if we have guests that come, that would be really cool. And from our history back in 2016, we didn't have a ton of guests in 2016 that would have come back. And we're like, okay, we'll just see. And this was a huge step of faith. So in 2017, we started this. I think it was March was the first one. We mentioned it in February, started in March. And every month, we've had guests come to the Pizza with Pastor. Isn't that cool? I mean, that to me is thrilling. Not because they want to be with me. That's not it. It's because they love being here. Because, and you know what I hear people say almost all the time? The reason I come back is because of the love that's here. I just sense a love for God and love for just anybody that comes in. That's not the pastor. They didn't come for me. I mean, a little bit. Truth, honestly. Listen, as you're demonstrating God's love to people, you're literally following through with a simple little step of how we can grow and communicate the gospel to the people around us. How do we grow the church? It starts with a tiny step. If you're not a loving church, nobody wants to come back. You don't want to go to a place that people don't like you? Amen? Right. So you come here because why? We're a work in progress. We love each other. We want to be connected with you. We want to get to know each other as much as we geographically can on a weekly basis in this kind of way. We want to do that. And I am thrilled that we have people that every single month we've had guests come to the Pizza with the Pastor. And I know today we have some that are planning to come for that as well. Just thrilling. And if this is your first time or you've been coming just a couple times, you're welcome to come and be part of that even today. And we always seem to have enough pizza. It always works out. It's awesome. So here's the reality. We made a resolution. We were resolved at the end of 2016 into 2017. We said, we must. There's no turning back now. And as we did, we saw God bless. He's not done yet. This is just the beginning. So as we move into 2018 now, what are we doing? Well, you're going to find that out in the coming weeks as we explain little details of things. We don't have this huge, like, oh, if we just do this, that's not it. Here's what we want to do in very simple forms. We want to equip you to reach your friends and family. And we want to do that alongside of you. But it's a journey, not something that happens in a week. It's a journey that we'll go through together. But as we do that, here's the reality. We need to be close to God. We need to be so close to God as we walk through the Jordan River, as we walk through the different things that that we know God is leading us to go into. We need to be so close to Him and walk with Him. So here's what I want you to take away today. There's two things. Number one, reject a cynical spirit. Reject a cynical spirit. The cynical spirit says, we'll never get there. Listen, He called Joshua to go where no one had gone, to leave the place they had camped out for 40 years, a place that they were stuck at. And He called Joshua to take that huge step. And Joshua immediately got up and said, let's go. And here's what we're simply saying. Don't get cynical. Take a step forward by faith. The thing that you say, I need to change this, let's move forward with that. And in the church, as we take and we make some changes and tweak some things here and there, listen, let's just go forward together. Get on the bandwagon together and move on. And I jotted down here, if you're struggling with cynicism, God's done when you're dead. Catch that? That's a great thing to write down. If you're struggling with cynicism or negativity, God's done when you're dead. Apparently, He's not done yet. All right? The last thing I'll say is resolve to take charge. Resolve to take charge. Things that are going on in your life, resolve to take charge. Don't just sit back and be passive. Resolve to take charge of what God has put in your place to be in charge of. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you're doing. We get to see in Joshua's life and Israel how you worked mightily in their lives. And Lord, we're part of that now. We saw in 2017 how you did some amazing things, not because of us, because we didn't plan for all of the things that you did. We just said, Lord, open the doors that you want open. We prayed and we were willing to follow you. That was it. That's nothing compared to the work that you've done. So God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We just pray that, Lord, in 2018, we would continue to take steps of faith to follow you. Lord, lead us to where you want us to be. Give us the specific small steps and the big steps that you want us to take that would honor you, that would lead us to know you better, and lead us to bring others to you. And God will give you the praise for it. Thank you for each person that's here today. Thank you for each person that's listening. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless and strengthen us to be resolved to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.